Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled, The Baptism in the Holy Spirit Differs from the New Birth. The baptism in the Spirit is a second experience with the Holy Spirit, which can take place concurrent with the new birth, but usually afterward. The Spirit comes to indwell every person who is born again to impart Christ's life, provide an interior witness that we are God's children, provide guidance, and to teach us the meaning of God's Word. The Holy Spirit is poured out on believers in the baptism of the Spirit to empower and equip us for service to God, especially to be His witnesses. Now that we've introduced the baptism of the Spirit and defined it, let's try to answer a very important question. Is the baptism in the Spirit included as part of the new birth and received automatically at the time of justification, or is it a separate experience with a different purpose? The Bible teaches us that the Spirit can be with, in, or upon us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was said to be with God's people. He came alongside them to encourage, strengthen, equip, and generally help them. King David illustrates God's being with his people in the following verse. And I read from Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." But in the new covenant, the Holy Spirit lives inside those who believe. Jesus promised his disciples in John 14, verses 16 and 17. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." That's the English Standard Version. One of the big secrets of the Christian life is that the Spirit lives Christ's life in and through us. After forgiving our sins, Jesus did not leave us on our own. When a person is born again, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in that person. Our human spirit is joined to God's Spirit and becomes one with Him, a remarkable and wonderful mystery. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. The Spirit of God within Him gives us life and develops within us peace and the character of God called the fruit of the Spirit. He affirms that we are indeed Abba Father's children, Romans 8, 16. But here is a very important point. Every born-again person is one with the indwelling Spirit, but not every child of God is baptized in the Holy Spirit. If your experience resembles mine, it might be difficult to imagine that you did not receive it all when you were born again. My new birth experience was amazing, as was my ongoing relationship with God afterward. When I first started reading and hearing about people who said they were baptized in the Spirit, my first response was, "I don't need that. I already have everything." This is a common reaction that reveals two things. First, we tend to mold our theology around our experience rather than asking God to conform our experience to His Word. Secondly, we don't like to admit that we lack something. But I, as you are most likely, was hungry for more of God. Herein lies a danger. If we convince ourselves that we already have something, we may stop seeking it and never find it. Sadly, just such thinking will send many to hell who have convinced themselves that they already have everything they need from God, despite never having been born again. Thankfully, I kept pursuing the baptism in the Spirit and eventually received it by faith with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which opened the door into a new dimension of serving our Lord. This can happen to you too, if you have an open mind and a hungry heart. The baptism in the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to equip it and empower us for ministry. Jesus received this baptism at the inauguration of his public ministry. If he needed it, how much more do we? This is recorded in Matthew 3, 13 through 17. It reads, "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answering said to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" New American Standard Bible. "Later, after being tempted by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, he went back to his hometown full of the Spirit." This is recorded in Luke 4, 16 through 21. "He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, gave it back to his attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" New American Standard Bible. Jesus clearly instructed his disciples not even to begin their Great Commission ministry until they received the same empowering. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the NIV. When God poured out his Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost, it was to empower Christ's followers to be bold witnesses to his resurrection. Today, his people are baptized in the Spirit for the same purpose. And here lies a very important distinction between the indwelling Spirit and the outpoured Spirit. The Spirit lives within us for our sake, but he is poured out upon us for the sake of others, many of whom do not yet know him. The record of Acts. All scripture is useful for doctrine. What the early apostles believed is clearly seen by what they did. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our, in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." New Living Translation. Acts is especially significant because there we see what the apostles believed lived out. James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. I will show you my faith by my works.'" English Standard Version. Peter and Paul both understood that the new birth did not automatically include the baptism in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John made a trip to Samaria to lay hands on the new converts for them to receive the baptism in the Spirit. "Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8:14-16, English Standard Version. If the baptism in the Spirit had already taken place at the new birth, Peter and John would have simply taught the Samaritans this truth. However, they instead laid hands on them that they might receive the baptism of the Spirit. Similarly, when Paul was in Ephesus, he encountered some followers of Christ, but he could tell that they had not received the baptism in the Spirit. What he asked them is revealing. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Acts 19:2, ESV. Paul was an apostle who had the responsibility of laying a foundation of sound doctrine in the early church, Ephesians 2:20. Surely he understood whether or not the baptism in the Spirit is automatically received at the new birth. Of course he did. So when he asked them if they had received the Spirit when they believed, it shows that the first does not necessarily include the second. The illustration of the three major feasts. The three major feasts of Israel, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, also reveal that the new birth and the baptism in the Spirit are distinct. Jesus fulfilled Passover to the day by being crucified as the Lamb of God and shedding his blood for the remission of sins. This feast also must be personally fulfilled in our lives through the new birth, if we're to be saved. The blood of God's Lamb must be applied to our sins. The Old Testament Feast of Pentecost, which originally marked the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, was also literally fulfilled on the day when God poured out his Spirit on the disciples in the upper room. Whereas the giving of the law brought judgment, the giving of the Spirit gave life. 3,000 people died at Mount Sinai for their rebellion, but 3,000 came into the kingdom of God when Peter preached his first gospel message on Pentecost. God also intends that each of us have a personal fulfillment of Pentecost as well by receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just as Passover was a separate feast from Pentecost, the new birth is separate from the baptism in the Spirit. Tabernacles, the final harvest, the last major feast, has yet to be fulfilled in the New Testament. I believe that Jesus will complete that feast at his second coming. Hallelujah. We will all need to have a personal fulfillment of that one too by participating in the resurrection of the dead. It is easy for us to see that one cannot be a child of God without having a personal Passover, a new birth, and a Feast of Tabernacles, the resurrection from the dead. Should it not be just as clear to us that we must also have a personal fulfillment of Pentecost? It was to Peter and Paul. The next thing I cover in this lesson is an examination of the three baptisms, the baptism into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13, the baptism into water, Acts 8:36, and the baptism into the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:5. I look at how each of them has a different method, one with the sprinkling of blood, water with immersion, and the Holy Spirit baptism with pouring. Each has a different baptizer. Into the body of Christ is done by the Holy Spirit. Into water is done by another believer. And into the Holy Spirit is done by Jesus himself. The candidate in each case in the baptism into the body of Christ is the elect, God's chosen ones. Into water is a new believer, or one who has just come to the conviction that he needs this baptism. And into the Holy Spirit, only a child of God can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The evidence is different in each case too. Into the body of Christ, we should see a changed life through the new birth. Into water, we see that a person confesses Christ and then he will or she will be wet as a result of being immersed. And into the Holy Spirit, the evidence is speaking in tongues or prophecy, which we will get into later. The benefit of each. Into the body of Christ, we are sealed in the Spirit. Into water, we make a public confession of Christ, and it has the effect of bringing salvation to our souls, not our spirit, our souls. And the baptism into the Spirit, the power to be a witness for Christ. Lastly, what each means, baptism into the body of Christ makes us children of God. Baptism into water is a public declaration that we belong to Christ. Baptism into the Spirit is God's declaration that we are beloved children. The baptism into the body of Christ happens when we're born again. The baptism in the Holy Spirit comes afterwards. Baptism into water should ideally come at around the very same time as confessing Christ as Lord and Savior. The outpouring of the Spirit can be likened to standing under a waterfall or a large bucket of water, as in the picture I use in my article. We are effectively immersed by this outpouring, but its purpose is not identification with Christ. It is to have the power to do ministry given to us. The evidence of the baptism of the Spirit is speaking in tongues and prophecy, which we will cover in the next lesson. The Holy Spirit baptism is also God's declaration to the world that we are His children. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again for the next lesson, which will be on the irrefutable evidence of speaking in tongues. God bless you.